Well, congregation, our scripture reading for this morning, you'll find it in the prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll read all of the chapter just now. Our focus will be in the final part of the chapter here, God's promise of strength for those who wait upon him. Isaiah chapter 40, we'll read all of the chapter just now, and let us give our attention to the reading of God's own word. Isaiah speaking here to the covenant people of God, as instructed by the Lord, to say to them, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he also will blow on them, and they will wither, the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number, He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. O congregation, brothers and sisters, I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. How are you feeling this morning? Are you perhaps feeling weak, weary, maybe tired, or overwhelmed and discouraged, burdened perhaps because of all of the pressures and strains of life that you feel are pressing in upon you? And maybe you're feeling like your energy, your supply of strength to deal with these things, it's depleted, it's completely drained. And maybe then you're just feeling worn out, you're feeling run down, you're feeling done in by all of the constant demands and pressures that are placed upon you. And perhaps you're feeling completely inadequate to meet all of these demands and pressures in your own strength. Well, if so then, friend, I have good news for you this morning. You see, God, the great physician, he knows all about the stresses and strains of life. Knows all about the demands and pressures that we do face on a daily basis. And you see, he has given us a very definite antidote and remedy for all of these things in his own word. For as we read just a few moments ago, what is it that he assures us of in his own word? That all those who wait upon him, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You see, he is the one who gives power to the weak, to those who have no might. He increases strength. And my dear friend, then you may be feeling weak and weary and run down perhaps in your body or soul this morning. But you see, God wants you to know that with him there is strength. There is power, there is grace sufficient to meet you in all of your need if you will but look to him and lean upon him at all times and in all things. And so this morning then I want to look with you at the wonderful promise that God gives us here in Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 27 to 31. Promise of strength sufficient for all of our needs. And we'll take as our theme then, strength for the weary. And we'll consider just two things under this theme. Firstly, the source of our strength. And then secondly, the key to our strength. Well, firstly then, we want to consider the source of our strength. But before we do so, I want to just give you a little bit of background, context to these verses. You see, these words were first addressed to the covenant people of God, in light of their impending exile in a foreign land in Babylon. And of course, they were going to find themselves in exile in Babylon because they had rebelled against their God. And thus, God was going to give them over, he's going to give them up into the hands of their enemies. And so they were feeling demoralized. They were feeling discouraged and cast down in their spirits as a result of these things. And they were thinking to themselves that they had no future left. that God was done with them. And so God instructed Isaiah then to bring them a message of hope and comfort to them, that in spite of their sins, in spite of all of their rebellion against God, in spite of the just judgment that he was going to bring against them, God wasn't done with them as a people. He still had a purpose for them, and therefore he wouldn't forget them or abandon them, but he would bring them back to their home in Jerusalem. And thus Isaiah says to them, as instructed by the Lord then in verse 27, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my just claim is passed over by my God?" And you see, Isaiah at this point in this chapter, then he's gently chiding or rebuking them here for their unbelief. You see, it seems they were despairing. They were saying to themselves, can God's promise really be true? Will God really show himself strong on our behalf and make good on his word of promise? You see, they didn't see the way ahead, didn't understand how God would be able to deliver them from the hand of their enemies, the Babylonians, the greatest and most powerful empire of that time. And so they were tempted then to give in to despair and doubt, to think to themselves, God's not seeing our plight. He has forgotten about us and abandoned us. But you see, what does God tell Isaiah to speak to these people about in the face of their fears and their doubts, their misgivings? He tells them to speak to them about the greatness and majesty of their God. They weren't to dwell on themselves or their circumstances, but they were to look by faith to the God who was sovereign over their circumstances, the one who had bound himself to them in a covenant of love, and who had thus promised to do great things for them. And you see, they were to remember then that their God, he is the one, the true, the only living and true God, the God who has no peers or rivals, for he's the God before whom all the nations are as nothing. They are counted by him as less than nothing and worthless, for they are as nothing before God but a drop in a bucket and the small dust on the scales. And thus Isaiah was to say to the people of God here, behold your God. Remember who your God is. He is the one who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers before him, and he brings princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless, and all God has to do then is but blow on them, and they will wither. They will be taken away like stubble. And you see, Isaiah is told by God then to remind the people here they had no need to be despondent or cast down or unbelieving, but they were to call to mind the things they already knew, the things they had already heard, things that they had been told from the very beginning, that their faith might be strengthened again, that their flagging spirits might once again be revived. And you see, the people here then, they didn't need new information. What they needed was to relearn, to take to heart what they already knew and should have taken to heart, what had already been revealed to them about their God. And friends, is that not exactly what every one of us needs, to have our minds constantly occupied and engaged with who our God is, what we have been told about him and know about the greatness and glory of our God. And friends, you and I then, we don't need new formulas. We don't need new programs or strategies or the latest self-help book or how-to manual to make it in life then. No. Friends, we need to get back so often to basics. We need to see and savor our great God in all of his glory and dominion and majesty and power and all sufficiency as the one who is God over all, that he is God alone, the God who is more than able to meet and supply all of our needs, whatever they may be. For he is, as Isaiah says in verse 28, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, the ends of the earth, who neither faints nor is weary, whose understanding is utterly unsearchable. And thus he can give power to those who are weak in themselves, those who have no might. He can increase their strength. And see, that's what this people needed to get a hold of here then. It's what all of us here need to get a hold of too. That our God is the everlasting God, the Lord. He is Elohim Olam. He is Jehovah. He is the self-existent and eternal God who has existed from all eternity, who will go on existing to all eternity. For he has the power of life and being in and of himself. And friends, there never was a time then when God wasn't. There never will come a time when God isn't either. For he inhabits eternity. He is from everlasting to everlasting God. And God, friend, he's not limited by the confines of time and space then as we are. You see, God transcends the bounds of space and time. As the very one who brought all of these things into being. And you and I then, we may be limited. All that we may see is what is immediately in front of us. And what is the present moment. But you see, God knows the end from the beginning. And he is working in and through all things then to bring to pass, as we said last week, his own eternal will and purposes for the good of his people and the glory of his name. And friends, we're not to limit God then, but we're to rejoice in who he is in himself, all that he is toward his people. But that's the amazing thing about our God, even though he inhabits eternity. Nevertheless, he's not a God who is aloof or distant or standoffish. No, as Jehovah, the Lord, he is the God who draws near to his people, who keeps covenant with them, and he will stand by his word to them then. See to it that all of the promises he has made to them, they will be fulfilled. For again, as Isaiah reminds us here, Jehovah is also the creator of the ends of the earth. He's the one who spoke everything into existence simply by the word of his power. And that which was in his mind then, it took shape. It became reality with just a word. And you see, Isaiah spoke these words to God's covenant people here then to assure them God is not short on power. His power is utterly unlimited. And thus they need never worry that he would be unable to accomplish his will and purposes toward them, what he had promised to do for them. For friends, if he can create everything out of nothing, then what can he not do? For if he created the ends of the earth, one end of the earth to the other and everything in between, there is nothing too hard for him. And furthermore, as Isaiah says, here God never faints nor is weary. You see, he's reminding us then that having created this wide universe and everything in it, God doesn't grow tired, doesn't grow weary, as he now continues to sustain and uphold the world that he has created by his power. Not a bit of it. You see, God's power never diminishes. It's providential control and governance of all that he has created then. It is utterly effortless for him. And you and I, we may get tired. We may get weary. We may become exhausted at times. We may spend a third of our day sleeping and resting. But you see, God is never in need of rest or recuperation, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friends, we need never worry then that the Lord will ever come to the end of his strength, that he will ever grow old, or that someday he will become unable to manage this world and all of its affairs. No, our God will endure forever. His power and dominion will never be diminished or decreased, for he is the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, who neither faints nor is weary. And furthermore, as Isaiah goes on to say, his understanding is unsearchable. You see, not only is he in possession of all power in heaven and in earth then, but he is also the all-wise, all-knowing God. Doesn't need to take counsel from anyone else. Doesn't need to be instructed or taught by anyone either. For you see, there are no limits to his understanding or breadth of knowledge. And you see, Isaiah was instructed by God then to remind these people, his covenant people, of these glorious truths. Why? Because you see, he knew it was an appreciation, an apprehension of these very things, when they were take them to heart, that it would strengthen and fortify their hearts, would give them renewed confidence and hope in the face of all of their doubts and fears. And friends, nothing has changed. See, this is still our greatest need in the face of our own struggles and challenges and discouragement. We need a renewed vision of our God. We need a renewed and an abiding consciousness that God is the only true source of our hope, our comfort, our consolation in life. And thus we need to learn, we need to relearn over and over and over again, not to make an arm of flesh our strength, not to lean on our own understanding, our own limited resources in life, but we must learn to put our trust, our confidence in God alone. And you see, so often this can be our problem right here. We imagine we can make it on our own in life. Or perhaps we think, well, all I need is God, for God to simply come alongside of me, just give me a little helping hand, little bit of help when I think that I need it. But for the most part, I can manage quite fine all on my own without God. And we forget then, you see, that God doesn't just come to supplement our lives. He comes to be our life, comes to be our all and in all. And so often then, God is left on the sidelines of our lives. He is marginalized in our lives, and he's left waiting in the wings, as it were, until we think that we need him. And how we need to come to the realization then that without God we can do absolutely nothing, that we are cast upon his care at all times to meet and supply all of our needs. And friends, how we need God to teach us our need of him then, to bring us to know our own weakness and human frailty, lest we do think higher of ourselves than we ought to think. You see, as Isaiah goes on to remind us here in verse 29, God gives power, yes, but who does he give power to? It's to the weak. It's to those who have no mind. He increases strength. You see, until we come to know and truly acknowledge our own weakness and nothingness before God, then we will never truly experience and know his almighty strength being made known and revealed to us in the midst of all of our own weakness and need. You see, the way up in God's economy is the way down. It's the way of humility and brokenness and emptiness. You see, God will show himself strong on the behalf of all such as are broken and humble before him. Isn't that the very thing that Isaiah says later on in Isaiah chapter 57? Thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, absolutely. But I also dwell with him who is of a humble and a contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And friends, let us ask God then to give us a truly humble and contrite spirit before him, whereby we do recognize just how truly dependent upon him we are. So as Isaiah says here in this chapter, chapter 14, we would learn to wait on the Lord alone continually, so that our strength would be renewed in him. We would be able to mount up with wings like an eagle. We would be enabled to run and not grow weary, and to walk and not faint. Well, that brings us to consider our second point then, the key to our strength. You see, having taken the time to speak here to us about the matchless power and glory and greatness of our God, Isaiah now goes on to speak very bluntly, by way of contrast, about the reality of our human weakness and frailty. And he reminds us here, even the strongest of humans, those who are at the peak of their strength, even they are prone to weakness and failure, and to succumb at times to physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion. You see, we can all grow tired. We can all become weary and exhausted as we experience all of the pressures and demands of life that confront us on every side. And we need to learn then that we're not sufficient in and of ourselves to navigate these things on our own. Isn't that why Isaiah is instructed by God here to say in verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And he's saying then, even those who are young, in the prime of life, who seem to have a never-ending supply of energy and strength, even they have their limits. And they too can become tired and spent and worn down in the crucible of life then. And young man or young woman here, take heed then to what Isaiah is saying here, that is young and full of life, as you may feel yourself to be, as you may well be, you too need to understand and learn it early, that you don't have what it takes to make it on your own. You see, it doesn't matter what age or stage of life we may be at, we were made by God, and we were made for God. And we weren't created then to live apart from God and to go it alone in life. We were created to live in total dependence upon God for all that we need for life and for godliness. You see, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You see, those words are not just a pious-sounding platitude that we begin every service with. That is a divinely revealed fact. And let every one of us beware then, lest we do find ourselves living in the grip of the satanic spirit of independence from God, whereby we do try to go it alone in life. We think to ourselves that we can manage just fine in life without God. Well, the truth of the matter is, whether we think it or not, all of us have a constant need of a supply of strength that is not our own. You see, we need the strength that comes from God alone. And friends, God is willing, He's more than willing, to share His power and strength with us, to reveal His omnipotent strength and might to us in the midst of all of our weakness and need. But you see, we need to understand something very important. The key that opens the door to the fullness of God's strength and might. It is a posture and spirit of waiting on the Lord for the renewal of strength. You see, this wonderful promise that's given here in verse 31, it is not for everyone. It's not an indiscriminate, unconditional promise for all and sundry. No, it is for those and those alone who wait on the Lord as their strength and their all. Those who, if we said, know that they are weak in themselves. They know they have no might of their own whatsoever to lean upon or draw from. And thus they are prepared to wait on the Lord alone so that their strength would be renewed in Him day by day. And friends, if we wish to know in our experience then the strength that is spoken about here, then we must seek to know and discover and understand something at least of what it means to wait on the Lord. For you see, this is key to absolutely everything that is said here. And friends, what does it mean then to wait on the Lord? Well, as we've already indicated, waiting on the Lord means that we're looking in the first place to God alone as the source of our strength, that our confidence, our expectation, our hope of finding strength in life, it's not in ourselves, but in the Lord alone. You see, we recognize He is the only one who can supply the strength we need for our journey through life. But having said that, does that mean God expects us just to sit around and do nothing? As we do wait on Him, as we look to Him to show Himself strong on our behalf. Not a bit of it. The word wait is used by Isaiah here. It's not a passive term. It is an active term. You see, it's not meant to be taken then to mean that we just sit back in idleness and inactivity as we do look to the Lord. No. Those who wait on the Lord are those who are not just looking to Him for strength, but they are also actively longing for Him, seeking after Him in the midst of times of adversity and weakness, to come to their aid and to make Himself known to them. You see, as we read in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. And those who are truly waiting for the Lord, then they're stirring themselves up to take hold of God. They're crying out to God to make His strength known to them. You see, like David in Psalm 62 and verse 1, they know that it is from God alone that their salvation comes. And friends, I ask you then, is that your realization and mine this morning? Is it leading us to go on our knees, to cry out to God, to seek His face continually, that He would open the windows of heaven, that He would pour out His strength into our hearts and into our lives, so that we would be strengthened with all might, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, to keep on keeping on with patience and endurance and with joy. Well, to wait on the Lord, then, it means to look to him for strength and to long to him for him to come to our aid. But it also means we'll be waiting before God to listen and hear what he has to say to us from his word. You see, those who wait on the Lord are like the blessed person described in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 34, who listens to God, watching daily at his gates, waiting at the posts of his doors. In other words, there are those who realize that God uses his word to strengthen us inwardly in our souls. And thus they know the importance of setting aside time each day to just be alone with God and his word, that he might speak a word in season to their weak and weary hearts, as Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 50. You see, they know the word of God is living and powerful and active. It is able to impart new life and vigor to their souls, to keep them buoyant in the midst of all of the storms and trials of life. And friend, again, I need to ask you then, are you and I diligently using the means that God has appointed then to strengthen and encourage us in our pilgrimage journey through life? Well, if not, how then can we expect God to show himself strong in our behalf, to reveal his strength to us? How can we expect to experience the release of spiritual power into our experience? Because you see, God uses certain means to bring about certain ends. Well, those who wait on the Lord then, they are those who look to him for strength, who long and seek after him as their strength and their salvation. And they are also those who listen to him and for him to speak to their hearts through his word day by day, so that they would be strengthened and revived thereby. But then they are also those who live for him, who serve him day by day. Think of the words of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 18. We read there, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit, so he who waits on his master will be honored. You see, the Lord honors them that honor him. That's his word of promise. And you see, he makes his presence and power known then to those who are faithfully seeking to serve and glorify and honor him in life. You see, like a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant, just like they are focused on serving those that they have been appointed the task of waiting upon at a table, they're seeking to serve them. Well, so those who wait on the Lord, they are focused on the task of serving and pleasing God at all times. And God has promised to bless those who do so, to show himself strong on their behalf. See, God doesn't just give us strength so that we can spend it in vain, in the service of self or the devil. No. He gives us strength so that we can serve him, glorify him all our days. And friends, all of us need to honestly ask ourselves then, who is it that we are truly desiring to serve and please and live for in life? What is our greatest goal and aim in life? Is it God and his glory? Because you see, God infuses strength into the hearts and lives of those. He suffuses that strength into their lives when they do seek to honor him. Well, friends, God assures us that all those who do wait upon him in these ways, he will renew their strength day by day. You see, when God renews our strength, he exchanges and replaces our weakness with his strength, our inability for his ability, our emptiness for his fullness. You see, that's what the word renew here means. It means to exchange. And it's speaking then about the work of God in our souls, whereby he does meet our weakness and nothingness by imparting fresh supplies of his never-ending strength and power to us continually, so that we can abide strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, so that we can say with Paul, when I am weak, then I am strong, because his omnipotent strength is what is being revealed to me and in me, not in the absence of weakness, but in the very midst of all of my weakness and need. And you see, the Christian life then, as I've said before on a number of occasions, it's not about the subtraction of all of our problems and difficulties in life. It is about the addition of divine power and strength to meet and overcome those same problems and difficulties. And you see, that is exactly what God is promising here. For he says in verse 31, those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And see what God is saying here through the prophet Isaiah then is, doesn't matter what our circumstances may be, there is a sufficiency in him to meet all of the demands of those same circumstances. You see, God can cause us to fly and soar like an eagle if need be. Can cause us to ride out the storms of life and to rise above them just like an eagle does. But he can also cause us to run into them, to run against them and through them, if need be also when we perhaps feel like we are under pressure and up against the clock in the rat race of life. But most of all, he can give us strength to just keep on keeping on in the midst of the daily grind of life, in our everyday walk and callings. And it's fascinating to note the order here. You see, no doubt if we were writing this verse, where would we likely begin? We'd start off with walking, then we'd advance to running, and then to soaring. But you see, that's not the order here. Because you see, God wants us to realize that, yes, he can give us wings, as it were, to fly if we need it. He can give us energy to keep on running at times when the pressure may be on. But you see, our greatest need is for strength, to simply persevere in walking faithfully before him and others in the day-to-day demands of ordinary life, and to patiently fulfill our callings in life when the going gets tough. You see, that's really where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. But you see, this is where all of us live our lives, in the humdrum of everyday life and existence. And at times we can grow weary and discouraged when we feel like life is monotonous, feel like we're confronted with our daily routine and schedule. Things that we have to do day in and day out, over and over and over again. You see, we're to remember there is a never-ending supply of strength and power available to us in God to enable us to endure, to just simply keep on going step by step, day by day, week by week, month after month, year after year. And so, friends, let us not grow weary in well-doing then. Let us learn to wait on the Lord continually in the way that he has prescribed, so that we can experience his wonderful renewing strength and grace in the midst of all of the pressures all of the strains of life in this world. You see, as one of my heroes of faith, Hudson Taylor, great man of God, has said so well, doesn't matter how great the pressure is, what really matters is where the pressure lies, whether it comes between us and God, or whether it presses us nearer his heart. Well, may that be the place that we are all brought to, all of our weakness and need then, that God might be free to enter into our situations in life, to show himself strong on our behalf. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray, open our eyes. Give us eyes to see you in all your greatness, in all of your glory and majesty, your dominion. Help us to see that you are ready to reveal and make known your glory, your strength, your power in the midst of all of our weakness in life, that you do call us to wait upon you, to humble ourselves before you, to acknowledge our deep need of you and of your strength. And so, Lord, we pray that you would work in all of the circumstances of life to teach us more and more just how truly dependent we are upon you for life and for godliness, for life, for breath, for all things. Help us to see that truly we have nothing but what we receive from you. And so, Lord, keep us in dependence upon you. Deliver us from going through life thinking that we do have what it takes to make it in life. Deliver us, Lord, from simply calling out to you when we think that we have a need or when there is an emergency or a time of crisis in life. But help us, Lord, to live out of your fullness at all times and in all things, to know what it is to be strengthened with all might in the midst of the ups and downs of life, that we would go through life with patience, with endurance, with joy, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. And so, Lord, we pray, keep us in all of our ways, and bless your word to our hearts. Deliver us, Lord, from being careless hearers. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to meditate on these things, help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed upon you, that we would know the peace of God which passes all understanding, keeping us buoyant amidst all of the storms and trials that will inevitably come our way in life. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be waiting at your gates, we'd be waiting upon you, looking to you, longing for you, to show yourself strong on our behalf, that we would know the joy of what it is to walk with you and to know and see in our own experience your power released into our hearts and into our lives. And so, Lord, help us to live in closeness to you, in nearness to you, and in dependence upon you. And go before us and keep us in this day and this week. Help us in all things and pardon all of our sins, we ask. We pray it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.